Okay, we're here, Lou Upton, along with our very special guest of the afternoon, Roland Hinkson. Roland, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Wes, or Lou, and all you people out there listening.
You know, let me backtrack for just a moment. Maybe we've got people who are not familiar with Dave Hinkson, okay? Let me just simply say, met Dave 14 years ago when I was doing this program for another station here in the city, and he was quite a fascinating young man, and he was a real... What's the word I'm looking for? He came in with all kinds of books and literature constantly, and somewhere along the line, I understand, Dave became aware of the fraud that's being perpetrated on all of us in so many ways, both in the natural health community and insofar as what they refer to as the justice society, justice community, okay? And one day Dave came in because he had an idea that he could get involved. He had been reading and studying up on different health products, and he had created a little ozone unit because we were trying to market other ozone properties that we were buying and reselling. And Dave created one that was considerably less expensive and far more efficient. And then he came up, the guy kept coming up with ideas, one after the other. At that time, he was a doorman here at the Tropicana Hotel, a hard-working young man with a large family living in a trailer way out at the south end of the strip. So Dave pursued the natural health industry by studying, by testing, by all kinds of ways until he came up with liquid-soluble mineral products. He came up with silver water made from real silver, gold water made from real gold. I remember he used to go into pawn shops and buy gold. I mean, anywhere he could find it. And then it became small, tiny particles in water. Then he came up with manganese in water, magnesium. I mean, you name it. The guy, whatever the minerals were, he created the authentic mineral in water-soluble form, and all of a sudden the company started growing because, hey, these products work very well. Well, at that time, Cook County, Nevada, started giving him a hard time regarding his trailer out on the south end of the strip and start making illegal and ridiculous demands, and Dave fought him off and won in every instance. As a matter of fact, he never lost against the county. And one day, I mean, they actually surrounded him with guns drawn. I mean, it was really a ridiculous situation. So Dave got fed up with what was going on and decided he'd move his business up into Idaho. And then he got lucky. He found a piece of land that he made a good deal on. And the reason the guy sold him the land at the low cost was the realtor was convinced there was no water anywhere on the property. Dave went up there. I don't know how many feet he dug this well, but by golly, he struck a lot of water. To make that story a little shorter, the realtor wound up working for Dave. I love that story. Okay, he sold him the land thinking, sucker, there isn't any water. Wound up, Dave went deep enough, I mean a ridiculous depth, but found adequate water, and then eventually hired the realtor to do whatever it was around the plant. So the business was successful, and Dave pursued his quest for knowledge both in law and in health. He also discovered the fraud of the IRS, and he discovered that so many so-called government agencies were not really agencies of the United States government. And I had a trip or two up there, and I, visited. Well, you can't be that intelligent and live as a free person. So what happened, I guess that's the answer, because I think he was only convicted of being intelligent beyond his years. They came up with the most ludicrous accusations imaginable. And they, after what, 14, 15 star chambers where they were trying to find anyone to say something bad about him, and they couldn't. Okay, I mean, it really was, had to be frustrating for the government. So anyway, they came up with this ridiculous charge, or charges, and then they gave him a kangaroo court. And then they put him in prison. And how did they achieve that? Well, other than it being a kangaroo court, the prosecution witnesses were paid, and felons beyond belief themselves. Am I right okay so far on this, Roland?
Yeah, that's pretty well descriptive. It's quite general. We can be more specific later.
Well, okay, let's do. I just wanted to bring those who may not be aware or familiar with the Dave Hinkson story, give them a rough outline, because everyone who knew Dave thought highly of him. He was a very decent human being. He helped people who couldn't afford his products by giving away these products. Where people needed help and assistance, Dave was always right there in the forefront. Okay? This is the kind of a person we're talking about. So, I think if he had any mistake in his life, it was not checking out some of the people he was employing. I mean, and he paid his people very well. And so they turned out to be the worst kind of, what can you say? They stole from him. They accused him of outrageous promises that no man of the right mind would ever make. But the company is still there. The company, of course, I'm referring to that Dave Hinkson created, we all know and appreciate as Wateroz. And the company is still up there in Grangeville, Idaho, while Dave is in prison in Colorado. And Roland, you and Mrs. Hinkson and the legal staff you've employed have gone through a fortune in his defense trying to get some form of justice, and it's got to have been one of the most frustrating chapters of your lives.
Now, yes, Lou, the difficulty is acknowledging that what we always believed in and held dear has vanished in this country. And possibly, if enough people open their eyes and they're willing to listen. You know, I'm an eternal optimist.
Yeah.
And possibly we can somehow, by numbers, make a difference. But they have a stranglehold on this system today.
Oh, boy.
And it's not only in this country. So it is frightening.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
You've given a broad general background about David for those that might be new listeners that haven't ever heard about David's story.
Uh-huh.
And I won't, I've been recently on the air on various shows, and I feel like probably I'm going to wear out those who have heard the horrendous, vicious actions used and taken by the government, the people in power, and it'll become old hat. So I've kind of wanted to bring to the fore more recent events of what is happening and how it came to this. And so if you don't mind, I'll go ahead and start with a letter from a former district assistant district attorney in Idaho,
okay,
who became David's attorney, Wes Hoyt. He writes that a Marine Corps League trial took place April 1st, 2006, and Joel Swisher was found to be a liar and a forger.
All right, now Joel Swisher was the main witness against Dave at the trial.
Yes.
Okay, now, go ahead.
He testified, and I'll give details on that, but it was his testimony that put David in maximum security at Florence, Colorado, at ADMAX, which is the entrance is 30 feet underground. He has all of the most notorious criminals in the United States housed around him there in that in this small compound. Actually, small by the standards of, you know, maybe some large prison.
Yeah.
But it's on the far end of a group of jails and correctional centers, and this one is flat out right called prison.
Yeah.
And they house them there to punish them. It is not a rehabilitation place. It is a place to give them the maximum punishment conceivable. And David is there because of the testimony of a man called Elvin Joseph Swisher
mm-hmm.
of Cottonwood, Idaho. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's been happening with this Swisher and what he has done. And when the attorney and former district attorney, assistant district attorney, says that this Joe Swisher was found to be a liar and a forger, I think you'll see why. We are waiting for the U.S. government to file charges against him for forgery and theft of property, as well as theft of valor. You could ask your congressmen and senators to look in this case. Maybe that would get some action. The problem is that the FBI and the U.S. attorney in Idaho, where Swisher would be prosecuted, were in on the original conspiracy to use Swisher as a confidential informant. This is in the case of the U.S. Attorney, he admitted that he knew that Swisher's DD-214 was a forgery and said it did not matter. Now, a DD-214 is a discharge document issued by the Marine Corps showing what honors, what when a person entered and left the service, under what conditions, and any medals or decorations that they had received, and so on.
Right.
And this Swisher, he managed to gain the assistance of people in forging because they believed that he was in fact a true hero. They assisted him in his forgery, not knowing that it was a forgery. They asked for help to present to the Veterans Administration for medical help, and they elected him as the commandant of the Marine Corps League and so on, and this was a tremendous job he had gotten away with on his forgery. But once it was discovered, the government did not want the jurors in David's case to hear it. So if the government if the government is in on the middle of this fraud, then there is no way that we'll ever get justice unless Congress intervenes. And West goes on and says, remember, the government officials who did this have immunity, and they wanted to get David Hinkson so badly that they were willing to authorize Swisher to lie, cheat, and steal to put David in jail for 43 years, 513 months to be exact. David now sits in solitary and supermax at Florence, Colorado. There is no hope unless people demand of Congress an investigation. Now, the Idaho law says that when a person offering false and forged documents or instruments for recording under Idaho Statutes 18-3204, every person who knowingly procures any false or forged instruments to be filed is guilty of a felony. And under federal law in general, whoever knowingly wears any decoration or medal for the armed forces of the United States, or a badge awarded, or a ribbon, button, or a rosette of any such badge, decoration, or medal, shall be fined or imprisoned. I don't know if that it gives you as much background as you might want, but let me tell you what's happened to this Elvin Joe Swisher.
Okay.
I had written an article and sent it out called "Former Marine Expelled from Life from the Marine Corps League." Last week, or thereabouts, 10 days ago or so, less than that, I guess, It was picked up by the Associated Press and went all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And the article, I'll read the article quickly here, about this Alvin Joe Swisher. It says, former Marine PFC Alvin Joseph Swisher, age 68, of Cottonwood, Idaho, was officially expelled from the Marine Corps League, MCL, and notified by Mr. Vic Voltaggio, National Judge Advocate, on April 8, 2006. The National Hearing Board of the League held a lengthy hearing in Lewiston, Idaho at the Red Lion Hotel on April 1, 2006. The hearing board was convened by order of the National Commandant, Frank Kish. The executive session lasted over 11 hours. 200 pages of documents were reported to have been gathered in an investigation prior to the hearing. This was the first hearing in 12 years by the National Marine Corps League. Members conducting the hearing, Chairman Paul Hastings, Helen Hicks, Barry Georgopoulos, and Vic Voltaggio, flew in from eastern cities, Washington, D.C., Florida, and Pennsylvania. Numerous other former United States Marines from various locations attended. Findings on the board affirmed to Mr. Swisher, one, you have submitted for the record documents DD-214 found to be a fraudulent per the National Personnel Records Section, St. Louis, Missouri, verdict guilty. Two, you did adorn Department and Defense ribbons and medals of which you were not awarded, verdict guilty. By unanimous vote of the hearing board, according to the MCL administrative procedures, they declared that Mr. Swisher be expelled from the Marine Corps League for life. National Personnel Records Center verified that Swisher was a fraud, and PFC Swisher claimed he took part in a special expedition after the armistice was signed with Korea.
Uh-huh.
First, the purpose, he stated, was to free American prisoners of war, POWs. The operation was highly secret, classified, he said, but upon investigation by the National Personnel Records Center, there was no evidence Swisher was involved in any classified operation. Swisher's documents were altered, forged, according to the Records Center. Retired Marine Colonel Woodring, who was a captain at the time, confirmed that his signature on Swisher's DD-214 was a forgery. Woodring had no authority to sign discharge documents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since Swisher would have been age 16 when the armistice was signed,
yes,
in 1953, Swisher's story was modified. He said that he was selected for a special expeditionary force.
Uh-huh.
Truth is that he was never in any combat situation. Because of his heroism, I had that in parentheses, under fire, having been wounded from a grenade, etc., etc., he maintained claim to the Silver Star Medal, Purple Heart, the Navy and Marine Commendation Medal and Gold Star, and other medals and ribbons. However, according to the Personnel Records Center, Swisher is not entitled to any decoration. What is more, the Commendation Medal didn't even exist when Swisher claimed it.
Ha!
So Mr. Swisher served in the Marine Corps on active duty from 1954 to 1957. He was stationed at Camp Fuji, Japan, March 4, 1955, until May 6, 1956. He had been demoted from corporal to PFC as a result of one of his three court-martials. He was in an auto accident in the state of Washington, thus giving rise to his injuries.
Yep.
Because of his past so-called heroic performance, he endeared himself to other Marines who held him in high honor. He was elected as Sergeant Major Linehan Detachment Commandant, was assisted by other well-meaning members of the detachment in getting deserved benefits.
Yeah.
Once his fraudulent papers were in order, Swisher managed to obtain, at taxpayers' expense, not only open-heart surgery, but $30,000 in back pay. Also, the taxpayers are paying for his ongoing income stream of $2,500 per month. So I would say that we all have an interest in what this guy did.
Okay.
And it was his testimony and his testimony alone that convicted David. And I will tell you that the judge, Judge Richard C. Tallman on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, said that it made no difference whether he was lied or not, and he would not allow the jurors to hear the testimony that Swisher was a fraud.
And that was the government's main witness against to evening. So we got to hold here for just a little bit. Do stay with us. Lou Upton, Roland Hinkson, our very special guest right now. Please hear the following. We'll be back.
Some funky Dixieland, pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
By the hand, take me by the hand, pretty mama, come and dance with your daddy all night long.
I like to hear some funky Dixieland, pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
By the hand, take me by the hand, pretty mama, come and dance with your daddy all night long.
I like to hear some funky Dixieland, pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
People smile and tell me I'm the lucky one, and we've just begun. I think I'm gonna have a son. He will be like him and me, as free as a dove, conceived in love. The sun is gonna shine above. And even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey. Everything will bring a chain of love. And in the morning when I rise, bring a tear of joy to my eyes and tell me everything's gonna be alright. Love a guy who holds the world in a paper cup. Drink it up. Love him and he'll bring you love. And if you find he helps your mind, better take him home, home. Yeah, don't you live alone. Try to earn what lovers own. And even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey. Everything will bring a change.
All right, back we are. Very special guest of the afternoon, Roland Hinkson. Now, do you understand the frustration we feel? I mean, if you knew Dave, and a lot of folks here in the Valley did, okay, personally. This is called the justice system, when they blatantly lie, when they rig the trial as blatantly as they did. Dear Lord. All right, that was our main witness. Eldon Joe Swisher. And the man himself should have been locked up a long time ago. And he was just one of a number of similar types of prosecution witnesses. Now, you know, you got all kinds of television shows today. Don't you love it? Law and Order and Cop and all these different shows. And they show you what wonderful people we have defending our rights and protecting us from all kinds of crimes. Here's the real case. Here is the truth. This is just one of how many examples, but this is the one that I'm most interested in, as are you, Roland.
Yes. Well, you know, they used all kinds of felons,
yeah,
as you mentioned earlier, in trying to get David convicted. Because David had sued them for $50 million.
And
that's when it all started, even though there was an offer by the assistant U.S. attorney of $5,000 for paid and costs. They dropped the whole thing. It would all go away.
Yeah, now,
instead,
wait,
it cost us over $3 million,
yeah,
and we're heading now for the fourth million. Let me tell you why they used this Swisher. They had to have somebody because Mariana Raff, which I won't go into her story now,
uh-huh,
who was a class act on her own, accused David, when he fired her for theft, of making overtures about wanting to kill these people.
Oh.
David never needed to,
and
never had in his entire life been violent in any way, nor did he condone violence.
That's right.
But he used the law, and he knew the law. And that was what frustrated these people. And so in 19, and I'll go back and talk about this Swisher again, why he was so important in this case. They substituted this Marietta Raft with Elvin Joseph Swisher.
Uh-huh.
But in his history, in 1980, Elvin Swisher was charged with, over a prolonged period of time, raping his four daughters.
Oh.
He was not acquitted of the charges. But the local attorney, Dennis Albers, who is one of those pushing hardest to get David convicted, during the trial spoke with one of the jurors. This Albers did.
Uh-huh.
Albers was sanctioned by the Supreme Court of Idaho and barred from ever seeking public office as a district attorney again.
Uh-huh.
No charges were ever filed against Swisher. Uh-huh. Where is Albers now? He's the assistant district attorney and still remains in the position and David revealed this, and cost him the election. So the new district attorney hired him to work with him.
Oh boy.
Okay, now this is Swisher. Yeah. After the death of his father, who was a decorated combat veteran, Joseph Swisher began for the first time wearing medals of honor and seeking recognition as a war hero. His former wife of some 20 years, mother of the girls for which he had been charged of rape, stated to the former assistant district attorney Wesley Hoyt that she had never seen or heard in her entire marriage anything about any decorations that he had ever received or earned. Recently, former combat Marine Joseph Volk was told by a friend that he saw Swisher parading around in uniform with decorations as recent as October 2005.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I've got some good news to tell you after, a little further down here.
Okay.
What's happening with Swisher and those that tried to, at least one person that tried to cover up for him that was in a higher position.
All right, but let me ask you this. This lawsuit Dave had against who? The agents of the IRS?
He sued the a guy named Vernon, who is the one of the bosses for the IRS.
Uh-huh.
He sued the head of the IRS. He sued a guy named Stephen Hines, who is the bulldog, was constantly trying to do everything he possibly could to nail David for some kind of an IRS violation.
All right. And what was the suit about?
It had to do with the David not withholding money or paying taxes that he felt that he did not owe.
Okay, now, he had a legitimate suit against Hines and Vernon?
Yes.
Okay, and the amount was, what did you say, $20
million? No, it was for $50 million he sued them for individually.
Uh-huh.
And that really got their attention.
Now, he also had them on fraud and forgery, did he not?
Yes, he did.
I mean, now consider, we're talking about government agents. We have evidence of fraud. We have evidence of forgery that we can verify. Okay,
now, right.
You say they were willing to settle for $5,000?
$5,000 originally. I had an attorney that is David's attorney that called me and said he was there when the offer was made. And I won't go into the whole story there because I, it's kind of distracting from what has happened to Swisher and so on. And I know we're always fighting the time curve, but we can talk about these other things.
I wanted the people to know that David had a legitimate suit on forgery and fraud against government agents. Well, none of us should be surprised because I think it's commonplace, but anyway, and it was verified because they offered to settle it for a pittance, which, of course, David and his legal people refused. All right, now go ahead about Swisher.
Okay, well, now Swisher testified under oath at various hearings and trials that in 1953 he was disabled by a hand grenade at the end of the Korean War.
Uh-huh.
Then later he revised that testimony and stated that the injuries were not at the end of the Korean War, but as a member of a secret special forces, a classified mission, whose job it was to free prisoners of war.
Yeah.
On cross-examination, he was asked how he could have been selected as a participant in this Special Forces mission at age 15 or 16.
Uh-huh.
He'd have to have been joined the Corps when he was age 13.
Right.
He changed his testimony, admitting his true term of service, but then he said that he had received multiple gunshot wounds in September of 55 in Korea.
Uh-huh.
Well, of course, the Korean War was over in 53.
Yeah.
And his ears, he said, were blown out in military action. However, his DD-214 showed no VA claim when he was discharged on February 10th of 1957.
Oh,
boy. So his story modified, and I'll tell you that the story got better and better as time went on. He was chosen as the commandant for the local Marine Corps League.
Uh-huh.
In November is when Swisher started blackmailing David after all these charges were brought against David, and he says it wasn't until January 4th that David announced to everybody at the factory that David was blackmailing him. Swisher was demanding 50% of Wateraws, wanted to be a half partner, or else he promised to tell about the cyanide in the product. No cyanide was ever used at Wateraws. It was used by Swisher in what he did.
Yeah.
But it is used in mining operations and assaying tests such as Swisher conducts. Swisher let the word out in September of 2003 that if he paid his fee, he would testify for David in favor in a related pending tax case.
Oh.
So this is where this all began. So David had the opportunity of succumbing to his blackmail, and didn't do it. And I reassured David that the story that he was telling and that the government was bribing him to say, nobody would believe it. There is no jury, I told David, that would ever believe this utter nonsense. But yet he's entombed in a dungeon now because they did believe it.
Yeah.
And as evidence on David's passport and other documents and affidavits, David was not in Idaho or even in the United States most of the time in June, from November 3rd, 2002.
Uh-huh.
In June, he was in Russia when Swisher was claiming that he had talked to him about all this nonsense.
Okay, well, now we understand that Swisher is a liar beyond belief. I mean, it just grows and goes. But now you mentioned you had some good news, but I want to... We got to hold up here for just a little bit, and when we come back, I think we could all use a little goodness, if that's okay with you, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Stay with us, everyone, and get Lou Epton with Roland Hickson, Dave Hickson's dad. Right now, we've got important words, but Roland and I will come back with some good news right after these words. Stephen online, hang tight. We'll get to you as quick as we can.
I can see the red in your eyes.
Boston for the springtime. I'm staying here with some friends and they've got lots of room. And you can sell your paintings on the sidewalk. Buy a cafe where I hope to be working soon. Please come to Boston, she said no. Would you come home to me? And she said, hey rambling boy, now won't you settle down? Boston ain't your kind of town. There ain't no gold and there ain't nobody like me. I'm the number one fan of the man from Tennessee. Please come to Denver with the snowfall. We'll move up into the mountains so far that we can't be found. And throw our love you echoes down the canyons. And then lie awake at night until they come back around. Please come to Denver, she said no. Boy, would you come home to me? She said, hey, rambling boy, why don't you settle down? Denver ain't your kind of town. There ain't no gold and there ain't nobody like me. 'Cause I'm the number one fan of the man from Tennessee. Now this drifter's world goes round and round, and I doubt it's ever gonna stop. But of all the dreams I've lost or found, and all that I ain't got, I still need to lean to somebody I can sing to. Please come to L.A. to live forever. California life alone is just too hard to build. I live in a house that looks out over the ocean. And there's some stars that fell from the sky and living up on the hill. Please come to L.A., she just said no. Boy, won't you come home to me? And she said, hey, rambling boy, why don't you settle down? L.A. can't be your kind of town. There ain't no gold and there ain't nobody like me. No, no, I'm the number one fan of the man from Tennessee. I'm the number one fan of the man from Tennessee.
Kelly Bashoy, Dave Hinkson, Lou Epton here with Dave's dad, Roland Hinkson. And Roland, you said you had some good news. I hope it is pertaining to Dave himself.
Well, it does in a kind of a roundabout way. It has to do with Swisher.
Oh, okay.
I had written a little piece here about this news, and I can't find it, so I'm going to have to ad lib it.
Okay, that's
I can,
even better.
Which is usually the way I have to operate anyway.
Uh-huh.
And but last night, the NBC4 in Virginia and Washington, D.C., carried a news item on the Stolen Valor. The Stolen Valor Act is something being promoted by Doug Stirner, who, in conjunction with Congressman John Salazar, have been trying to get this act passed. And so far, there's been a great surge going on. Last I had heard before today was there were 60 congressmen and senators who had signed on to get this law passed.
Uh-huh.
And we need all the veterans organizations and all the authentic, honorable people who have relatives who have been veterans to support this, to write to their congressmen and support the Stolen Valor Act.
Okay.
Get your congressmen, senators behind it. Because this puts teeth into the kind of situation that Joseph Swisher, who is a total fraud and who has been siphoning money off, leeching money from the taxpayers and discrediting all the honorable people who have fought for their country. And now on the NBC4 in Washington and Virginia, Washington DC and Virginia, his picture has been placed on, along with the other rogues. That came out last night, so
Swishers.
That people can see that here is a fraud who has been receiving benefits. Now, this helps David tremendously because you recall there's only he was convicted solely on the testimony of this lying blackmailer.
Yep.
And my daughter-in-law just happened to be listening. She said, "You didn't make it clear. It sounded like you said David was blackmailing Swisher." And I said, "Oh, well, I'll clarify that." David wouldn't believe in blackmailing anybody for anything.
No.
But Swisher was blackmailing David, and Swisher is a piece of garbage.
Yeah.
And he needs to be tried. There are at least six felonies that he is guilty of. He's running around with the disabled veteran's license plate.
Uh-huh.
And the whole bit. He was never prosecuted for the crimes that he had committed earlier. He has defrauded the Veterans Administration, and yet, the Veterans Administration fails to do anything about it. Now, let me just read you a tiny little piece that I have here on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Uh-huh.
This is under the auspices of Judge Richard C. Tallman, who is the person who I consider, and everybody who has listened to this kangaroo court of his, I call him the Black Rope Prosecutor.
Uh-huh.
And Richard C. Tallman advised the defense that it would take considerable time to check Swisher's documents, and it would confuse the jury. He admitted that the government's case rested on Swisher being a combat veteran. Regardless, he denied the defense from introducing Swisher's fraud to the jurors. He said Swisher's lies under oath, quote, didn't render the trial unfair, unquote. The government didn't dispute Swisher's fraud of the VA, and they deliberately failed to correct false impressions about Swisher. Former Marine Joseph Volk, who was once a friend of Swisher's, had personally delivered it a year ago to the Veterans Hospital in Spokane, Washington, the same document showing Swisher's fraud. Then again, he had delivered the same information. Yet no action has been taken. Instead, the government informed the jury that Swisher was a combat veteran who fought in Korea and had learned there how to kill. The court denied the defendant's motion for a mistrial after the defense learned that the government knew of and had hidden the defense evidence of fraud. Judge Tallman concluded that Swisher's powerful testimony about killing was impressive. Besides, he said the documents were merely rank hearsay. Even though the defense asked for defendant Hinkson to insist on a mistrial, due to false documents, a mistrial was denied. In determining how to handle the request for mistrial, Judge Tallman ordered the jurors out of the courtroom, and therefore, from the evidence, it appeared the government was as guilty as Mr. Swisher.
Absolutely. Now, it was Swisher's photograph, you said, that was on the television in the Washington area?
Yeah, on NBC.
On NBC.
Yeah, and anyone can look that up and listen to this thing by clicking on NBC4.com.
NBC numeral 4?
Yeah, numeral 4.com.
Okay.
And then the page will come up, and on the left, there's a column that says video.
Uh-huh.
So you click on video, and then the page that comes up will show icons. And one of the icons, about the third one down on the right side of the page, is the purple heart. You click on the purple heart, and then the video starts to play. And you can hear the testimony. You see his picture along with the other frauds. There are only four of them on there, and they're excellent pictures.
Okay.
And this is what we needed in order to get the FBI to attempt to process a conviction of this guy.
All right.
And you can see the impact that this can have on David's case.
The conviction, the going after Swisher is one thing. My main concern is with all of this information, there has got to be some way, somehow, of getting Dave a fair hearing and get rid of all this and get Dave out.
Well, we're working on that, and that's cost into the hundreds of thousands of dollars, but it is in the process now. And what we're afraid of is that he'll have three judges that will allow 20 minutes for a verbal presentation before the three judges, and the entire case rests on the brief presented, and they limit the number of words that can be in that brief. So we had to pick out of the 50 or so violations of the constitutional law a handful of the ones that we can present in that short of a period of time. And Swisher happens to be his testimony, and the fact that the judge would not allow the jurors to hear the testimony of what a fraud he was, and all of the other stuff that the court had set up was all fraud and phony, but the jurors threw it out. And one juror said, had he have known about this, he said that I would have voted for acquittal, but they brought pressure on him. And as you can recall from the testimony of Mike Golden from Visalia, on Irwin Schiff's story, that there were offers made and special awards given or money given to jurors if they would testify, and if they came up with the right verdict, it would be increased. And so we know, and Alan Dershowitz, the professor in the OJ trial, he said that almost 100% of the time the FBI will lie under oath if it's a constitutional question. This is a quote from him. And Judge Judith Jones, the Fifth Circuit, she, talking to the Harvard law school, she said that the system is corrupt beyond recognition.
And no
yet
doubt.
We have something that people don't, they recognize it, they probably don't know it, but that there is a name for it, and that's cognitive dissonance.
That's right.
People do not want to believe something that is too harsh, and it's contrary to what they've been taught all their lives, so they will just flat outright deny it, not recognize it. And that's what most of us deal with, with cognitive dissonance, and we all suffer from it to a certain degree. But I suggest that all of the people who really are concerned about their future and the future of their kids and grandkids, that they start paying attention and listening and passing information along, because we have the documents to verify and back up everything that we're saying. And people just have to finally acknowledge that the truth will prevail in the long run, and if we don't get this out, it's going to be too late for everybody.
Well, let me just make a comment here, and then we got to do a quick timeout. We're going to repeat this entire interview on this station on Monday, Memorial Day, okay? So those of you listening right now, please inform your friends, your relatives, whoever you can, to be listening Monday to the show, because we're going to repeat this entire interview, this entire program. We've got this last time out to do, Roland. Let's get this behind us, and then we'll come back with the final few minutes immediately.
Okay, that's fine.
Please hear the following words. They're important. They help keep the show alive. Lou Ecton with Roland Hinkson. We'll be back right after this.
If only you believe like I believe. really nothing we can't do.
You know we could, you know we could.
If we wanted to.
You know we could, you know we could.
We could exist on the stars. It'd be so easy.
Yes, I have.
I want to do everything and anything that is humanly possible to help get Dave out of the situation and make him a free man. It's already been 2 years. I can't believe it when I think about it, but here we are.
He's been locked up for 3 years now.
Is it 3 years already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in solitary.
Okay.
What would really raise his spirits would be if someone would consider sending him a letter.
Okay.
Just that he is being remembered.
And his address?
It's David R. Hinkson, H-I-N-K-S-O-N. And his number is #08795-023.
Mm-hmm.
Post Office Box 8500, Lawrence, Colorado, 81226.
Do you want me
to repeat that?
Yes, if you would.
Okay, David R. Hinkson, H-I-N-K-S-O-N.
Uh-huh.
Pound 08795-023, P.O. Box 8500, Florence, F-L-O-R-E-N-C-E, Colorado, 81226.
Hopefully a lot of our listeners will take advantage and take some time and drop a note to Dave at this address. And if you didn't get a chance to write it down, my phone number, 433-1240. I've got the address. I'll be glad to relay it to you. Let's see if we can get enough mail going to Dave because it'll help him lift his spirits a little bit. While we've got a moment, Roland, we've had a caller who's been very, very patient. Let's give him a couple of seconds here while we have the time. Fair enough?
Yep.
Okay, Stephen, that's you, and now you're on with Roland, and thank you for your patience.
Good afternoon, Roland and Lou.
Yeah.
Roland, I've watched many, many of these, and I hope you take this in context, because I've never seen the facts make any difference to the outcome of these.
Uh-huh.
You know, I worked with Dave on a couple cases. I've spent 6 to 8 hours with him on a couple different occasions and working on cases at the law office in downtown Las Vegas. And I'm curious, how did he get an attorney?
How did he get one?
All the time about the hazards of that.
Well, you know, we'll probably have to do this on another show sometime to give you the background.
Okay, I'll get in touch with Lou. If you want to give me a call, I'd certainly like to discuss this with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. If you give me your phone number, give Lou the phone number, I'll get it from him and I'll talk to you.
Okay, we'll talk.
And Lou, if in conclusion here, I know we only have seconds left here, but. I'd like to just read to you on a memorandum that I had sent out to the Marine Corps League.
Uh-huh.
And in the conclusion it says, although Elvin Joseph Swisher is an elderly man, the grief, heartache, the loss of years with the threat of a lifetime in solitary confinement for his victim does not engender pity for such a person. From his past behavior, it appears that there is no rehabilitation that can make society safe from him. He continues to parade as an honorable man and has become somewhat of a master of deception. This man is either a sociopath or just plain evil. Certainly to have him parading as the product of the Marine Corps and for it to be condoned is shameful. That's the way I left that
Roland.
Article, and
he's
being
go.
Thrown out now of the Purple Heart, and the others in turn will probably
do the same.
We've
got to
and
move.
Hopefully we'll get prosecution.
I want to thank you sincerely.
Vile, evil person.
And again, the show will be repeated tonight and Monday. Right now, let me thank George Bryant, our producer, and those listening. Lou Epton, have as good of an evening as you can. We'll see you tomorrow afternoon, same time. I bruise you, you bruise.
let the song go on. It's a fine line between the darkness and the dawn. They say in the darkest night there's a light beyond, but the end. I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then again I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. I've looked around enough to know that you're the one I want to go through time with. If I had a box just for wishes and dreams that had never come true, the box would be empty except for the memory of how they were answered by you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. Looked around enough to know you're the one I want to go through time.
Sunday, but I got so damn depressed that I set my sights on Monday and I got myself undressed. I ain't ready for the altar, but I do agree there's times when a woman sure can be a friend of mine. Will I keep on I don't mind saying, I just can't make it.